जय प्रभुपाद जय श्री प्रभुपाद
जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय श्री प्रभुपाद
जय भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद
जय भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद जय भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी
जय वैष्णव ठाकुर शिला प्रभुपाद वैष्णव ठाकुर शिला प्रभुपाद
जय वैष्णव ठाकुर शिला प्रभुपाद जय वैष्णव ठाकुर शिला प्रभुपाद
जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद
जय जय
Let us read from Prabhupada Nectar, a nice episode from Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees and guests to be attentive while he spoke on the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. One time when Prabhupada objected to a baby's crying, a person in the audience challenged, "If you are a guru, why are you disturbed?" Prabhupada replied that it was the audience who was disturbed from attentive hearing, and that was why he had asked if the baby's noises be stopped. Even when Prabhupada spoke Hindi, which most of his disciples could not understand, he expected them to stay and be quiet. He said that even if they couldn't understand the language, the sound vibration would purify them. One time in New Delhi, while Prabhupada was speaking to a government minister and other guests in his room, two of his disciples created a disturbance. Brahmananda Swami was ill and needed the address of a doctor. So he entered the room to catch Tejas' attention. At first, Tejas didn't want to speak at all, but Brahmanand insisted and poked him in the side. Tejas turned and gave the doctor's address, but Brahmananda requested more information, and the two of them began to argue. In response to the disturbance, Prabhupada stopped speaking. When the devotees looked at him, he was staring at the spot on the ceiling just above where they were sitting. Prabhupada then lowered his vision from the ceiling and looked straight and steady at the two offending disciples. "It is very annoying to me," said Srila Prabhupada. He shook his head with displeasure and added, "It is very disconcerting." These last words were spoken in a soft tone, but with anger. The atmosphere of the room became very tense. The distinguished guests were looking at the boys and Prabhupada, and the boys were devastated. Prabhupada's displeasure continued unrelieved, until suddenly another devotee entered the room and announced, "Prabhupada, the car is ready." Only by Prabhupada's rising to exit for another engagement did he release his disciples from his instructive displeasure. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
So we can see how important it is for us to be attentive during Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. It's something that's so important because Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is actually non-different from Krishna. If Krishna was here with us personally, would we be inattentive to Krishna? We would never. It's because we lack the faith that Bhagavatam is actually non-different from Krishna. That is why sometimes the mind becomes inattentive. This point is also nice about young children. Sometimes Prabhupada's disciples also have indicated to us when they take programs that children should be quiet. And some people think that maybe it's because they will be disturbed. But generally a devotee never thinks of himself because he thinks of the general audience. So Prabhupada was not thinking that he would be disturbed because he's a pure devotee. He could concentrate and speak about Bhagavatam in any situation. But he was always concerned that the audience should not be disturbed, especially when they needed to hear the important message about it. So sometimes when we make the announcements telling mothers or fathers with children, we know that sometimes people feel it, you know. But the caveat is that you can have them hear, but if they become a bit disturbing in the sense that, you know, they are restless, then the proper thing to do is try to bring them downstairs. That's the best thing to do. So this is how Prabhupada taught us. And Prabhupada was not afraid to show his displeasure to his disciples. And in that way, when we take initiation from our spiritual masters, it is also very important for us not to think that our spiritual master is meant to mollycoddle us. It is not that they should always praise us, that you are doing very nice all the time. How is a child going to learn to grow unless the father and mother tells him or her, this is wrong and this should be done in this way? So we should be ready in Krishna consciousness. Even when we come to the center, when we travel, we should be ready when a devotee comes and says, Prabhu, this is not the way, it should be the other way. You should not keep anything to heart when a devotee say that way, because actually in their hearts they don't mean anything. They are just trying to share with you something. Sometimes something may be painful, but if we learn it the right way and it pleases the Vaishnavas and Krishna, ultimately it is for all better. And very often when we become devotees, it's difficult for us to be told that something is right or wrong because it pinches our ego. That is also something we have to deal with when we come to Krishna consciousness. So these are things that are very practical, and in that way, if we can accept it, you find that we actually grow in Krishna consciousness very, very quickly. Very quickly. So the devotees personally that I've seen who have grown in Krishna consciousness are those who don't keep anything to heart. If they hear someone saying something to them, maybe someone is harsh, maybe sometimes someone is a bit heavy, but they don't keep it to heart. They feel that you are my well-wisher, so that is why you are saying this. Another example Prabhupada gave is, sometimes when a leg or a limb becomes infected, you have to amputate it. But you amputate it to save the body. So at the point of amputation, it is painful. But ultimately, life continues. And you have a chance because your body is still alive. So sometimes our bad habits need to be cut. And that is the purpose of the spiritual master. Guru means one who cuts. So that's why sometimes Guru has to be a bit heavy. This is very important. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya Girivara Dhari.
Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha, Jaya Girivara Dhari, Jaya
Yashoda. Jaya Praja Jananjana,
Jaya
Praja Jananjana, Jaya Praja Jananjana, Jaya Praja Jananjana, Jaya Praja Jananjana, Jaya Praja Jananjana, Jaya
Jaya Kunjabihari, 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 Jaya Kun
Unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana. Unto Nara Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being. Unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. And unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Nasta Praeshu Apatreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavati Uttama Shloke, Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee. All that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Jaya Vrittaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So we welcome all devotees today to reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 2nd Chapter, 26th Verse. Tato nanda vrajam itaha Pitra kamsad vibhibhyata Ekadasha samastatra Urarichi samalobasa Tato nanda vrajam itaha Pitrakam sadvibhyatha Ekadasha samastatra Udharichi sabalovasa Tato nanda vrajam itaha Pitrakam sadvibhyatha Ekadasha samastatra Udharichi Sabhalovasa.
Godaji Sabhalovasa.
Prabhuji's.
Tato Nanda Vrajam Itaha.
Tato Nanda Vrajam Itaha.
Vitrakam Sadhi Vidyata.
Vitrakam Sadhi Vidyata.
Ekadasha Samastatra.
Ekadasha Samastatra.
Gurache
Sabalovasa.
Tato Nanda Vrajam Itaha.
Tato Nanda Vrajam Itaha.
Vitrakam Sadhi Vidyata.
Vitrakam Sadhi Vidyata.
Ekadasha Samastatra.
Ekadasha Samastatra.
Gurache Sabalovasa.
Gurache Sabalovasa.
Matajis.
Tato Nanda Vrajam Itaha. Vitrakam Sadhi Vidyata. Ekadasha Samastatra. Gurache Sabalovasa.
Tataha. Thereafter.
Nanda Vrajam.
Cow pastures of Nanda Maharaja.
Itaha.
Being brought up.
Pitra.
By his father.
Kamsa.
From Kamsa. Vidhyata.
Being afraid of.
Ekadasha. 11. Samaha. Years.
Tatra.
Dheri.
Guda
Achihi.
Covered fire.
Sabalaha.
With Baladev.
Avasat.
Resided.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation. Thereafter,
his father,
being afraid of Kamsa,
brought him
to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda. And there he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladev. Please hear the purport. There was no necessity of the Lord's being dispatched to the house of Nanda Maharaj out of fear of Kamsa's determination to kill him as soon as he appeared. It is the business of the Asuras to try to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to prove by all means that there is no God, or that Krishna is an ordinary human being and not God. Lord Krishna is not affected by such determination of men of Kamsa's class, but in order to play the role of a child, he agreed to be carried by his father to the cow pastures of Nanda Maharaj, because Vasudev was afraid of Kamsa. Nanda Maharaj was due to receive him as his child, and Yashoda Mayi was also to enjoy the childhood pastimes of the Lord. And therefore, to fulfill everyone's desire, he was carried from Mathura to Vrindavan just after his appearance in the prison house of Kamsa. He lived there for 11 years and completed all his fascinating pastimes of childhood, boyhood and adolescence with his elder brother Lord Baladev. His first expansion. Vasudev's thought of protecting Krishna from the wrath of Kamsa is part of a transcendental relationship. The Lord enjoys more when someone takes him as his subordinate son who needs the protection of a father than he does when someone accepts him as the Supreme Lord. He is the father of everyone and he protects everyone. But when his devotee takes it for granted that the Lord is to be protected by the devotee's care, it is a transcendental joy for the Lord. Thus, when Vasudev, out of fear of Kamsa, carried him to Vrindavan, the Lord enjoyed it. Otherwise, he had no fear from Kamsa or anyone else. Beautiful purport. Om Agnana Dhimirathasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumkiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Namo Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutare
Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sadhajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bhando Jagarpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Manostute Tattakamcha Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhano Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavaganyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaure Krishe Namaha Vancha Kulapritadu Vyascha Kripaha Sindhu Vyakevacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Hare
So we welcome all the devotees to hearing from Bhagavatam. Very nice to see slowly all the devotees coming back from all the different parts of the world. We are all missing your association after some time. And it actually happens because December suddenly, many of us, you know, either we go to the holy dams or we have to attend to some of our own family affairs. And so for a while, we feel separation. And the good news is by January, we all become fired up to continue another year. So this verse is a very nice verse. It continues in a very important topic, remembrance of Lord Krishna. The important thing that Rupa Goswami has given us as a foundational principle in devotional service is that somehow or other, we must always remember Krishna and we should never forget him. This is the foundational principle. All other rules and regulations are considered kinkaraha. They are considered to be servants of this principle. So if we live by this guiding principle, then our life becomes very sublime. So in every junction of our life, we should remember that somehow or another, we have to remember Krishna. So here, you find that the devotees of the Lord are remembering Krishna so nicely. And particularly in this verse, we are remembering that his father, meaning at that point of time, Vasudev, was afraid of Kamsa. And at that point of time, he brought him to Nanda Maharaj, who became the foster father. And there in Vrindavan, Krishna lived for 11 years and he had the most wonderful pastimes that we still hear, we still speak about, and we still become completely absorbed in. So, in that way, Bhagavatam poetically describes Krishna as being a covered flame. Covered flame doesn't mean that the flame is extinguished. Covered flame simply means that the flame is continued, except that for some time we may not see the full brightness of the flame. So actually, one thing that's really important here, Prabhupada starts in the purport, is that Kamsa was very determined to kill Krishna. And actually, the problem we find in material world is that the demonic tendency is for us to misuse our determination. Very often you find that In the working world and everywhere else, determination is considered very important. But unfortunately, if we don't use determination to remember Krishna, as the topic is, then what happens is, we become demonic in tendency. So Kamsa had determination, Prabhupada uses the word determination. But you will find that this determination was not of much use. Because while he remembered Krishna unfavorably. So as devotees, we should remember that the way to become absorbed in Krishna is anuvrittya. Anuvrittya in Bhagavatam means we should be favorably absorbed in Krishna. And meaning, when we are favorably absorbed in remembering Krishna, it also means that we must be favorably absorbed in serving the devotees of Krishna. Because Krishna never comes alone. Krishna means package. There's always Krishna and devotees. So, if we are not favorably inclined towards the devotees, then how can we be favorably inclined to the Lord? That becomes what we call Kanishtha Adhikari, the mood of one who is neophyte. He thinks that Krishna is only in the deity, and he forgets that Krishna is in the hearts of the devotees and all the living entities. So this determination of Kamsa is not useful. But I think in 914 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, very important, determination is stated in the right way. Satatam kirtayantomam. This is important point. Satatam kirtayantomam. Yatantascha jidavrtaha. So actually there, it is stated, Namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. So Krishna instructs Arjuna that always you please chant my glories. This is the first thing we should always do. Remembrance of Krishna means to chant his glories always. So when we are devotees, we must become determined to chant Krishna's glories. That's one. Second, we must always endeavor with great determination. This is the second point Krishna gives to 940. So first, we chant Krishna's glories always. Then, we must endeavor with great determination to serve Krishna. This is important. Endeavor is the hallmark of a serious devotee. Until we struggle and sacrifice, we will not become purified. You will find that actually Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mata, Vasudev, Devaki Mata, they sacrificed so much for Krishna. And they were determined always to remember Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan are exalted because they made so much endeavor always at every juncture of their life to remember Krishna. So this is the determination a devotee must have. And in material world, we will face so many challenges to this determination. We will face challenges of the health. We will face challenges of the threefold material miseries. We will face the challenges of the four defective things that are in our hearts and our constitution. We find fault, we have imperfect senses, we are illusioned, we have the propensity to cheat. All these are actually like swimming against the tide when we want to remember Krishna. And the most difficult thing is the mind. Because the mind always gives the favorable arguments why we should not remember Krishna. So that is why, very important, yatantascha dridavrataha, that we should be very, very determined. And the third thing that's really important is we should always bow down before Krishna. This is something Kamsa never did. He never bowed down before Krishna. So his determination had no value. He was determined to kill Krishna, but he should have used his determination to bow before Krishna. So we should be determined, Prabhu and Matajis, every juncture of our life, we should bow before Krishna. In other words, we should cultivate humility. We should understand that anything that happens to us is the mercy of the Lord. And any devotee that we come across is also the mercy of the Lord. And in that way, Nitya Yukta Upasate, these great souls worship me with devotion. That is why 914 in the purport, Prabhupada actually says that this verse describes the pure devotees. Because they are known as Mahatmas. So this is an important point we can remember. So when we don't use determination well, then we become determined not to remember Krishna. I'm determined not to take association. I'm determined not to come for programs. Don't want to hear about them. So when that happens, then we have a strong desire for sense gratification. So if you don't have a strong desire to serve Krishna, then your desire will be channeled towards sense gratification. And sense gratification is the hallmark of all the demonic personalities in Bhagavatam. You find Kamsa, Ravana, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. The main reason they were envious of Krishna was because they wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. And because they wanted to enjoy, and they found that Krishna posed as a threat to their sense gratification, that is why they were determined to vanquish him. They were determined never to accept him as a supreme personality. So this nature is no good. Unfavorable determination, Bhagavatam tells us, leads to false ego. Very important point. So actually when you read chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita, in just one verse, I think it is 16.4 or 16.3. 3 is divine qualities, 4 is the Asuri qualities. Just that verse, if you remember, the whole understanding of the psychology of the demons is given. Krishna says, Dambo Darpo Abhimanascha Krodha Pavushyam Evacha Apnyanam Chavitasya Partha Sampadim Asuri. Partha Sampadam Asuri. So there are these qualities that actually have the qualities of demons. First, pride. And very often you find that Kamsa was very proud of who he was. Then he was also arrogant. Arrogant means there's a difference, subtle difference between pride and arrogance. Pride means that you think that you are the maker of your destiny. When you become proud, then you are arrogant. Arrogant is conceit. Then pride, arrogance. Arrogance means you start behaving on the basis of false ego. And then you have conceit. Conceit means you become very proud of what you are doing. Conceited. So pride, then arrogance, then conceit. And when these three are there, then what happens is sense gratification is always present. But unfortunately, we know in Bhagavad Gita that those who are contemplating on the objects of desire, they often become frustrated because objects of desire can never satisfy us. So the demons go on a very difficult quest. They run after something to gratify their senses without the blessings of Krishna, and they get frustrated when they cannot achieve it. Therefore, pride, arrogance, conceit, then there is anger, krodha. And once there is anger, there is parushyam evacha. Parushyam means harshness. They speak in very harsh language. You find Kamsa, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, you find in their, when they speak in Bhagavatam, they're very harsh. Very harsh. Duryodhan. When Duryodhan spoke to Vidura, about Vidura, he spoke so harshly. He said, this son is son of a Dasi Putra. In other words, he is a son of a cat servant or a cat mistress. Throw him out of the house of this kingdom in such a way that he only has his breath with him and he has nothing left. This is the harshness of a demon. Sometimes devotees can be harsh. We just read Prabhupada Nectar. Prabhupada was very heavy on the two devotees. But that harshness is different. That harshness has no motive. It is not based on sense gratification. The harshness of our spiritual master on us very often is actually mercy. Because the spiritual master has no anger in his heart. He has no parushyam in his heart. He has no pride, arrogance or conceit in his heart. He only has the mood and the desire to serve the living entities. So that is why sometimes when great spiritual personalities speak harshly, you find that we are very happy that they are speaking this way to us. Because it means that they care for us, but not Kamsa. So when you have anger and harshness, then the last point that comes is that there will be ignorance. See? So all these things, Krishna says, these qualities belong to those of demoniac nature. So very important. We can understand that this is the mood of the demons. So why is this practical in the purport? It's practical in the purport because we should check ourselves, gurus and mantis. We should really honestly reflect and introspect on who we are. Bhagavad Gita is such a nice manual for living that just by reading this one verse, we can understand, do I have pride in my heart? Am I filled with arrogance? Am I very conceited? Do I get angry with everyone but I don't show it? Not showing anger doesn't mean anger is not there. It is still there. But maybe outwardly we try to prove I'm very sadhu, but inside I'm very angry. And harshness may not be that we speak harshly, but we may think very harshly of people. So this is very, very important. We forget that Krishna is in the heart of the living entity. So how much can we hide? And for how long you can behave? How long to put up a show? For example, if you want to act like Ravana on stage, how long you can play the role of Ravana? After a while, you know, you have to change, you know, because you are who you are. So Kamsa's determination and Kamsa's psychology is not helpful. Kunti Mata says that Krishna is known as Ishwaraha Prakate Param. In the first canto, 8th chapter, she describes Krishna as, Krishna, you are beyond the material conception of nature. This is the mood of a devotee. The demons, they cannot understand who Krishna is. That's why Kamsa was afraid of Krishna. Because pride, arrogance, conceit, anger and harshness and ignorance did not allow him to see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, when we also develop these demonic tendencies in our heart, then we cannot see Krishna as Supreme. And we cannot see Krishna's greatness, and we cannot see the greatness of devotional service and the greatness of devotees. Our intelligence is lost. When that happens, we start criticizing, we start fault finding. That is also very dangerous. So that is why it is nicely stated, Krishna himself, no, actually Kunti Mata says, Maya Javanika Chandam Apnya Dokshajam Abhyayam Na Lakshase Mura Visham Nato Natya Daroyataha. Very famous verse Kunti Mata prays. She says, Krishna, you are actually beyond the range of the limited sense perception of the living entities. That is why, Prabhus and Matajis, we cannot understand Krishna with our limited senses. We have to take instructions from Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas of who Krishna is. When we follow that very sincerely, then Krishna reveals himself to us. If we try with our limited sense perception, we cannot understand who Krishna is. Then Kunti Mata says, you are the eternally irreproachable factor. Irreproachable means very nice. Reproach, when someone is reproached, what it generally means is that you can actually reach out to that person. But it is irreproachable. That means it is a factor that is beyond our understanding. Krishna cannot be approached, cannot be reproached, because he is covered by the curtain of deluding energy. And he decides and reserves the right to whom he should appear. That is why she ends by saying, you are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. A good actor, you cannot recognize him for who he really is. You can only recognize him based on his role. So here, the purport, Prabhupada is speaking of two things. First, he is saying that Kamsa could not understand the greatness of Krishna because of his demonic tendencies and because of sense gratification. So when we get caught up with sense gratification, our devotional service will start lessening. Always remember, the real litmus test, why we lose taste in bhakti, is because we have increased our taste for sense gratification. It can happen to us midway through our devotional service if we are not careful. We can become deviated by so many isms within devotional service. Why? Because these are all our subtle hankerings that we don't leave. Supposing we were very attached to something before devotional service. When we come to devotional service, we try to find a way to fulfill that subtly. Instead of fulfilling Krishna's desire, we want to use devotional service as a vehicle to fulfill our desires. When that happens, then what will happen is we start losing the understanding that Krishna is Supreme. Then what happens is, after many years, bhakti becomes a ritual. We just do it because we have to do it. There is no taste for it. So this is very important. It is not only that Kamsa is a demon, but these demonic tendencies of Kamsa can be present in us if we are not careful, because material nature is very powerful. So Adokshaja means beyond the range of experimental knowledge. Very, very important. Very important. You know, yesterday I had gone to my son's school. No, the day before. It's St. Hilda's Secondary. And there was a nice saying from the Bible under the Proverbs. There is so much Bhagavatam actually. There it is said that, you please submit to the Lord your God and do not lean on your own understanding. This is Adokshaja. Do not lean on your own understanding. Fully submit to him, and he will guide you through your path. This is Bhagavatam actually. So actually, all scriptures agree on this one point. If we try to understand Krishna from our understanding, it is very difficult. But if we try to understand Krishna through the pages of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, then the Acharyas will light up the path for us. Then Krishna is no longer a covered flame, but he can be revealed in his full glory. Kamsa missed that. We should not miss this. So this is the first part. To understand that Krishna reserves his right to be seen by the devotees and not the demons. So actually, Krishna is unconquerable. That's why he is known as Ajita. He did not have to be hidden from Kamsa by Vasudev and then later transferred to Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. But because the demonic behavior of Kamsa was there, just to increase the level of devotion in Nanda Maharaj and in Vasudev, Krishna agreed to come into this scheme of arrangement. This is very important. Actually, Krishna himself didn't have to be hidden, because by the demonic nature of Kamsa, he would have been disqualified from recognizing who Krishna is. If you think about it very carefully, by Kamsa's demonic behavior, he would have been disqualified from knowing who Krishna is. So Krishna was never afraid of Kamsa, but he did this for the pleasure of his devotees. That's why the main reason why Krishna comes to this world is not to annihilate the miscreants, but he comes to this world to give pleasure to his devotees. The byproduct of that is, along the way, I'll kill a few demons. That's all right. But his main mood is always to give pleasure to the devotees. That is why he comes. We should never mistake that. Normally, when you find many people outside the Vaishnava Sampradaya speaking about this verse of Paritranaya Saduna, they will emphasize that Krishna has come to kill the miscreants. But when you read Vaishnava Siddhanta, you find that the devotees say Krishna always comes to give pleasure to his devotees. He is Bhaktavatsa. That is his first reason why he comes. And he gives pleasure by killing the demonic elements. And in doing so, he checks them from advancing their atheistic temperaments against the devotees. So it is always the devotees who are in the center of Krishna's life, and the devotees have Krishna as the center of their lives. This is an important point. So Kamsa would never have understood who Krishna is, but Krishna allowed him because he wanted to actually give pleasure to Nanda Maharaj as well as to Vasudev. In the same way, the potency of Krishna in this yuga is in his holy name. If we chant his holy names offensively, Prabhus and Matajis, then, like a deluded curtain, the full impact of the holy name cannot be revealed in its true glory. That is why Prabhupada instructs us very carefully that we must have this mood of avoiding the 10 offenses to the holy name. And that can be avoided in one stroke, just to be attentive to the chanting of the holy name. In the same way, if we are very attentive to our devotional service, then Krishna Matihi will lead to Krishna Ratihi. Only when we become attentive to the devotional service will we become attracted to devotional service. If you want to have Vasudeva Katha Ruchihi, then we must actually become attentive to Krishna. Do you know how attentive Vasudev and Devaki Mata were when Krishna was born into their lives, so to speak? Even though he was not born, he appeared. Before Vasudev and Devaki had him as Krishna, for millions of years, they performed great austerities. So, it is not that Krishna accidentally came to them. It is not that they were in a lottery and they applied for Krishna to be the son and then they got it. No. In fact, our sastras tell us that Krishna allowed himself to be protected and to appear into the heart of Vasudev, because for millions and millions of years, he and Devaki Mata qualified themselves by austerity and penances because they had a desire to have Krishna as their beloved child. So in the first time Krishna gave them, they were actually the Prajapatis, Sutapa and Prishni. And at that time Krishna came as Prishni Garbha. Then because of their continued austerities, Krishna became so pleased, he said, alright, again you will come as Kashyap and Aditi, and there I will come as Upendra or Vamandev. So when Vamandev came, Vasudev and Devaki were his parents, and they were at that time Kashyapa and Aditi. And then one more time, because Krishna was so pleased with their devotional service, he told them, I'll give it three times. First time I came as Prishni Garbha, second time I come as Vamandev, and the third time, I will come in my original Bhagavan's to Swayam. I will come as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And in that way, you will be born as Vasudev and you will be Devaki. So Prabhupada writes in the purport in Krishna book, in Advent of Krishna, Prabhupada says that so many jnanis are just praying to Krishna for liberation. But Vasudev and Devaki prayed to Krishna that you should become our child. And Krishna told them that because you want me to become child, therefore no liberation for you. Because if you are liberated, then you can't be there as parents, isn't it? So you have to stay back, and then I will come. And Prabhupada writes there, devotees gladly are able to forego liberation if they have a chance to serve Krishna. What is liberation? Liberation means to remember Krishna. Liberation means to serve Krishna. So a devotee's mood is very different. And that is why, that is the qualification of Vasudev and Devaki Mata. So that is why Krishna played, as Prabhupada writes in the purport, the perfect role of a helpless young child. When Krishna was born, or when Krishna appeared, he appeared first in the heart of Vasudev. Why? Because Vasudev captured him by devotional service. In the 9th canto, 4th chapter, between the prayers of 57 to 63, Lord, in the form of Vishnu, instructs Durvasa Muni that actually I am not completely independent. I am completely dependent on my devotees. Why? Because my devotees are ready to give up everything. Ye dharadara putrapta. They are ready to give up their wives, their families and everything just to be able to serve. This is the mood of Vasudev and Devaki. They were willing to give up liberation and everything else, all the opulences, just so that they could have Krishna. And that too, how long was Krishna with them? Only for a fraction of a moment. He didn't spend one day even with Vasudev and Devaki. Not even a day. If you and I prayed very hard to have Krishna as son, the caveat is that Krishna has to stay with me for a while. But this one, Krishna being transcendental, he came. But he just spent a few hours and then said, quickly now, bring me across Yamuna and drop me somewhere else. I have news for you. You can be my parents, but I have also foster parents in this pastime. Imagine. So Vasudev and Devaki were not motivated. They just wanted to increase their love for Krishna. And Krishna reciprocated. So he came as the four-handed form of Lord Vishnu, right, in all his glory. But first he appeared in the heart of Vasudev. Vasudev passed him into the heart of Devaki Mata. And Devaki Mata then embraced him in her heart, and he came into her womb. And in the womb, the devatas who came to perform their Purusha Suktas, they came because they were attracted by the glowing effulgence of Devaki Mata, because she was 100% absorbed in Krishna. And then Krishna was present. So this is the mood of Vasudev and Devaki. And that is why Krishna, when he came that way, immediately Devaki Mata said, Krishna, don't now come in this form. Because if you come like this and Kamsa walks in now, definitely he knows you are Vishnu. So, you please come in a hidden form. So, Krishna then comes, he then changes himself into his original form as a beautiful little boy, Balakrishna. And in that form, immediately Vasudev was given the instruction by the Lord, please now take me across River Yamuna and bring me to Nanda Maharaj, your good friend's house. There you will place me, because my brother, who's my first expansion, Baladev, is already there now as the child of Rohini. So you put me there. So Vasudev gladly agreed to the order of the Lord. Never questioned him, Lord, I disagree with this, not fair. You know, why you must be adopted by someone, let me keep you. Do you know why he did not? Because in 10th canto, Vasudev was more concerned about the safety of Krishna. Krishna gave him that beautiful yoga maya because in his heart he wanted to treat Krishna as a child. So how can a father treat a child as a child if he knows the child is actually protecting him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Cannot, isn't it? Something goes wrong there. So Vasudev's heart was in anxiety as a father, and Krishna played the perfect role as an anxious son. So Vasudev's only mood, let us be clear on this, was how do I bring this boy to safety so that Kamsa will not kill him. That's all he thought about. So in that darkness of night, by Krishna's arrangement, all the soldiers and the guards fell asleep. Vasudev was in shackles, the shackles fell off. The door opened by itself. Krishna was carried by Vasudev. Devaki Mata just remembered that she gave birth to Krishna. And then after that, by the curtain of Yoga Maya, she fell asleep and she forgot the events for a while. And then as Vasudev started leaving, all the gods outside were asleep. As he came out, there started a light rain. So Sheshanag, who is Baladev, decided that I must do some service for Krishna. He is the same Baladev who is now Baladev, sleeping next to Rohini Mata in Vrindavan Dham already. But he expands himself inconceivably to come as Sheshanag. And he gives the royal umbrella, transcendental shelter to Krishna. And in a few purports before this, you remember how Prabhupada writes that to increase the anxiety of Vasudev and his attachment to him, at one point, Krishna arranged that he should slip out of the hands of Vasudev and he fell into the river Yamuna. And Vasudev became mad, thinking, where is my boy? Where is my boy? Imagine if your child drops into the river. You panic, isn't it? But that panic is because you think that's your child. But this is the mood of a pure devotee. So Vasudev became mad after Krishna because he thought, where is my Krishna? Where is my Krishna? And then he found Krishna and he pulled him across the river Yamuna and brought him into the safety of Vrindavan Dham. So this is why Krishna agreed to actually follow with the mood of a devotee. Because they perfected their lives, Prabhus and Matajis. They qualified themselves. And Prabhupada writes in this purport, Krishna always gives, he is the true benefactor of the devotees. He fulfills all the devotees' desires. Vasudev and Devaki Mata wanted Krishna. They qualified themselves by controlling their senses. And because of their great sadhana, they were allowed to have Krishna. That is why in the 10th canto, 8th chapter of Bhagavatam, it is stated, Rupa Goswami declares, and Prabhupada writes in that part, because 8th chapter, the purport is very nice. Prabhupada writes there, that Vasudev and Devaki, actually they achieved the motherhood and fatherhood perfection based on their great austerity and penance. Then Parikshit Maharaj asked Rupa Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami, what about Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mayi? Because Krishna in one pastime fulfilled the desire of two sets of parents. He fulfilled the desire of Vasudev and Devaki, and then very quickly he got transferred to his foster father, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata. So in the 10th canto, 8th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is asked by Parikshit Maharaj, what did Yashoda Mata and what did Nanda Maharaj do to deserve this? And Parikshit Maharaj is told that Nanda Maharaj in his previous time was actually known as Drona. Not the Drona of Mahabharata, but one of the Vasus. And his wife was actually Drona and Dhara. D-H-A-R-A, long A. So they two were actually, in that time, what happened was, they were great devotees of the Lord and they were considered to be eternally servants of the Lord. Now this is an important distinction that Sukadeva Goswami makes. He says that Yashoda Mata and Nanda Maharaj are considered to be what we call Nitya Siddhas. They are eternally liberated souls. And Krishna gave them the benediction that before I come, you will advent as Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So, whatever happens, they always have the benediction that they will come before Krishna to receive Krishna. So, two kinds of devotees here, Sukadeva Goswami tells us. There are the Nitya Siddhas like Yashoda Mata and Nanda Maharaj, who eternally are liberated and come with Krishna for his pastimes. And then, there are the great Sadhana Siddhas. And these are like Devaki Mata and Vasudev. And they, because of their austerity and penance, they also attract the loving relationship of the Lord. So there are three ways to attain Krishna. We have Nitya Siddhas who are eternally liberated, like Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't have to come to this world to become liberated. He was always liberated. Then there are those who are known as Kripa Siddhas. The Kripa Siddhas are like Bali Maharaj in Bhagavatam. By the pure mercy of his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj and his father Virochana, and by his existing stock of devotional service, he was given the mercy of Lord as Upetra, and he achieved perfection. And then you have Sadhana Siddhas. They are the living entities, like all of us, who by the mercy of these great spiritual masters, we have a chance, by their mercy, to perfect our life and go back to Krishna. So Krishna is so kind that it is very clear that even though we may come into this world as fallen conditioned souls, but if we follow the instructions of devotional service, Krishna will give us the opportunity to serve the lotus feet of the devotees. Why? Because the last part of the purport is very important. Krishna is the true benefactor of everyone. He fulfills the desires of all his devotees, especially the devotees who are pure. Pure devotees' desires are always fulfilled because they only have one desire, and their desire is always to be engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord. And for those who are not pure devotees, even then, Bhagavatam tells us Krishna fulfills their desires. But he is very kind, you know. For those of us who have many material desires also, how does Krishna fulfill all our desires? It is very nicely stated by the prayers of the residents in Jambudweep in the 5th canto, 19th chapter, 27th verse. This is a verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked very much in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he is quoted in this purport also. Satyam visati artitam artito ninam naivartado yat punar artitayataha swayam vidate bhajata manichitam icha pidanam nijapada pallavam. It's a very nice verse. The meaning is nice. This, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fulfills the material desires of a devotee. See? Krishna is very kind. Even material desires, if you want, he will fulfill. And if this devotee appears before him, approaches him with such a motive, he fulfills it. But the Bhagavata verse tells us, he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. So maybe one time Krishna may fulfill your material desire. Then suddenly you find, hey, Krishna is now not fulfilling all my material desires. He has stopped it. Why? Because Bhagavatam says, he will not give you benedictions which will actually cause you to demand more material benedictions. So what does Krishna give? However, the verse tells us, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person doesn't want it. Very often we don't want devotional service. Very often, sometimes you find that devotees will run after us and say, Prabhu, please come for the program. We give all kinds of excuses. We get all excuses ready. This week, excuse number one. Next week, excuse number two. Third week, excuse number three. I remember in Abu Dhabi, you know, there was a senior devotee. His name is Swayam Spurti Prabhu. And there was a very nice devotee today. At that time, she was not a devotee. So Swayam Spurti Prabhu, she was working under him. And one day, he invited her for the programs. So she was very pakka mayavadi, did not believe in Krishna. So she found all kinds of excuses. Today I have to go here, go there. But every week he called her without fail. He hounded her to the point where she told me, just to make sure he stops calling me, I'll go one time for the program. That's it. So she went one time for the program. And when she heard so much about Krishna, and then so much about how mayavadi philosophy is not good, she started having a bad headache. And then she told Swayam Spurti Prabhu, I have to leave because I got a headache. You know what he told her? Don't have to worry. He lives in one of those villas, you know, in Abu Dhabi. It's this big shake villas. He said, upstairs, you can go and lie down. I have fitted speakers in all my rooms. So you lie down and continue to hear the lecture. So your headache will go. He forced her to go upstairs, close the door and lie down. And she had to lie down and hear the whole lecture. And after hearing it, she has never stopped coming for programs. And today, for those who know her, she is Vaijayanti Mala Mataji. She is so expert in Bhagavatam today. You know, she knows Bhagavatam inside out. She is such an exemplary devotee. And she came because of the persistence of one sincere soul. And this is the mood of the devotees and Krishna. What the devotees do is, even if you are not willing, they are very willing to make you willing. Your unwillingness attracts them, Prabhus and Matajis. Don't get angry with devotees when they become like that. But they are like that because they follow the Lord. The Lord willingly gives his lotus feet, Bhagavatam tells us, even though that devotee doesn't want. In this world, when you give something that people don't want, they consider you cheap. Krishna is so kind, he is willing to risk being called that. He says, I will give you something you don't like. Because when he does that, Even though that person doesn't aspire for them, eventually Bhagavatam tells us that shelter of the Lord's feet will satisfy all our desires. This is the mercy of Krishna. The verse ends by saying, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead's special mercy. Icha Pidanam. So when you want to know what is the special mercy of Krishna, remember 5.19.27. 5.19.27 tells us without doubt what is the special mercy of Krishna. This is Father. This is really Father. And this is what He does. Krishna fulfills the hearts of all His devotees. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata treated Him as a small boy. So sometimes Yashoda Mata chastises Him. In Damodar Lila, she chastises Him. And He's very happy. She runs after Him and He agrees to be bound. Kaliyavana in Krishna Lila runs after Him, but Krishna kills Him. Kamsa also was running after Krishna. Krishna killed Him. Sishupala could not leave Krishna. Why? Because He was criticizing Him all the time. Krishna also killed Him. But when a devotee approaches Krishna with devotion, Krishna just becomes a child. Depending on the mood of the devotee, He's ready. When the gopis worship Krishna with all their hearts, Krishna just incredibly tells the gopis in the 10th canto that I'm not indebted to anyone in this world. In fact, all living entities are indebted to me. But I cannot pay my debt to you. Because of your devotional service, I'm unable to pay my debt to you. So, Krishna is bound by His devotees. Why? Because His devotees' love actually bind Him. This is the moment. So we should understand that this verse and this purport actually focuses on the relationship which is known as eternal or maternal relationship. In Nectar of Devotion, very nicely stated by Rupa Goswami, and Prabhupada says, this is known as Vatsalya Ras. And in Vatsalya Ras, Vasudev, Nanda Maharaj, Devaki Mata, and Yashoda Mayi, they are the emblems of this verse. And in this mood, the thought is always of protecting Krishna. And you can see how they wanted to protect Krishna. That's why Vasudev, in the darkness, hurried to give away his child, whom he prayed so hard to have. Nothing but a father's love can actually allow a person to give up his child, even though he has prayed millions of years for the child. This is the mood of the perfect man. And the perfect parent has a perfect child, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Years later, when Krishna and Balaram come to see Vasudev and Devaki Mata, Krishna falls at the lotus feet of his parents. He falls at their feet. When the whole world is falling at his feet, he falls at their feet and he seeks pardon from them. He asks that, please pardon me and my brother, that so many years we left you and so many years we never came back to see you. In fact, he seeks pardon from them first before he goes to see the gopis. So how much love Krishna has for this mood of parental love and how much he reciprocates. So, it is stated in Nectar of Devotion that those devotees who want to have this parental love, they are encouraged to follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj. But it is also very nicely stated by Prabhupada that there are two kinds of mood in this parental affection. The first is that one tries to become the father of Krishna. The second is one follows in the footsteps of the devotees like Nanda Maharaj. And in doing so, they cherish the ideal of being Krishna's father. Prabhupada states in Nectar of Devotion, of these two, we should not attempt the first. Why? Because if we think that we are the parent of Krishna, Krishna is our child, then Prabhupada warns us, and Rupa Goswami warns us, that we may suddenly become very proud, and eventually we may become Mayavadi in philosophy. Eventually we may think that I am Nanda Maharaj, and we will start behaving as if we are Nanda Maharaj when we are totally unqualified to be Nanda Maharaj. And when that happens, eventually we will become impersonal in our tendencies. And if you say one day you are Nanda Maharaj, second day you say I am Krishna. That road is open and that door becomes open. So Prabhupada cautions us, in the mood of material sentiment, please don't say, you know, for me Krishna is my child, or for me, I don't want to get married, Prabhu, because actually I'm married to Krishna. This mood should not be there. This is very, very dangerous mood. And Prabhupada is very clear in Nectar of Devotion. Rather, Prabhupada quotes Skanda Purana. In Skanda Purana, there's a story of an elderly man who was living in Hastinapur, the kingdom of the Pandus. And there one day, he decided to love Krishna and serve Krishna as his beloved son, because he was elderly. So he turned to Narada Muni, who was passing through Hastinapur. And he asked Narada, "Narada, what should I do if I have this mood?" And Narada Muni told him that you just follow and serve in the footsteps of devotees like Nanda Maharaj. You pray to them and you serve them. And in that way, you will achieve success. And this elderly gentleman, he followed the instructions of his spiritual master Narada. Everywhere Narada goes, you notice in Bhagavatam, he is always guiding the living entities to perfection. And here also, he told him the right point. And this is actually given in Bhagavatam. What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood? His mood is that we can never become the pure devotees. We must become servants of the servants of the servants. Gopi bhaktuhu padakamalayo dasamu 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 das. This is the mood of the devotees. So we should be very cautious. We must serve the devotees. And in doing so, the devotees become pleased with us. When they become pleased with us, Krishna becomes very, very pleased with us. Vritrasura in Bhagavatam also had the same mood. Aham hare tava padaika mula dasa anudaso bhavitas vibhuyaha. See, he's saying dasa anudaso. He says that I'm praying now that if I come back, may I again take the shelter of all the great devotees of the Lord, who with their body, their mind and their speech, they are completely dedicated at the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the mood. He says that Krishna, you are samanjasattva. You are the source of all opportunities. And he says, Nanaka Prishtam Nachapara Neshtam. I don't want to serve. I don't want to be ruler of any planets. I don't want liberation. In fact, I don't want anything. If I do not have an opportunity to serve the lotus feet of your devotees and yourself, then I do not want anything. So actually, Bhagavatam confirms Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion confirms Bhagavatam. They are in parity. Prabhupada confirms this. Our spiritual masters confirm this. So Guru, Sadhu and Sastra, they all are in line on this point, Prabhus and Mahapujis. So therefore, it is our duty to follow this mood. It is very important that we follow this mood. And in this way, we will attain the mercy of the Supreme Lord. We want to end by remembering this point. In 1.2.16 of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very nicely stated, Shushroshaho Shraddhadhanasya Vasudeva Gatha Vichihi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipraha Punya Tita Visevana. If you want to remember any verse, you remember this verse. Because very nicely, Sukadeva Goswami says, by serving those devotees who are completely pure and fixed from all vices, what happens to us? Great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So if we want to have taste to hear the messages of Krishna, then Bhagavatam is very clear. You please serve the pure devotees. In other words, as Nectar of Devotion says, we don't aspire to be Nanda Maharaj. We aspire to serve Nanda Maharaj. We serve all the devotees who come in the parampara of Nanda Maharaj, who come in the parampara of Srila Prabhupada, who come in the parampara of all our acharyas. We want to serve them. Sometimes people ask, how do we serve them now? They are not here. You know, we can't offer them prasadam, you know. But service to a pure devotee means to follow the instructions of the pure devotee. So if we follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, who has chewed and who has distilled everything that is needed for us in Kali Yuga now, if we do all the things that will please Srila Prabhupada, and if we do all the things that will please our spiritual masters, then we will always be under the shelter of the Supreme Lord. We will always be under the shelter. Then the misguided determination of Kamsa will never touch us. We will always have the Dhrida Vrataha of a devotee as stated in 9.14 of this of Bhagavad Gita. This mood Prabhupada ends in Nectar of Devotion is known as Pushti Marg. Pushti Marg is very famous in Gujarat. Prabhupada writes there that those who follow the mood of Pushti Marg, they see Krishna as Balakrishna. In the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, you find that this is very strong. Sri Vallabhacharya is in the Vishnu Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. And Prabhupada says there, they worship Krishna as Balakrishna. Prabhupada says, Pushti means nourishing. Pushti means nourishing. If when one takes up devotional service in the mood of Nanda Maharaj, in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, who are always living their lives in such a way that they always put Krishna in the center, then Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, that sentiment is very nourishing for the devotional service. Devotional service is like a creeper. And if you want to nourish it, you must nourish it with love and devotion. That is known as Krishna. So Prabhupada ends by telling us that the Lord can be conquered by the pure devotees. And we can please the pure devotees. And in that way, the Lord becomes pleased with us. So let us end today by remembering, because we spoke about Nanda Maharaj, and the purport tells us about the greatness of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. In Krishna book, there is one chapter where it is stated, Vasudev meets Nanda. And if you read that chapter, you will understand the mood of these two great devotees. It is stated in that chapter that one time, after the birth ceremony of Krishna, Krishna had already adventured himself in the world, and there was an elaborate birth ceremony done by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. After the birth ceremony of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj decided now that he will go to Mathura. Why? Because he had to pay annual tax to the government under Kamsa. So at that time, even Nanda Maharaj had to pay tax because he was a landowner and he was an owner of many, many, many cows. So that tax had to be given to Kamsa because Kamsa had usurped Ugrasena. Otherwise, this tax was supposed to be given to Ugrasena, but it goes to Kamsa. So Bhagavatam tells us because he had to pay that, Nanda Maharaj made the trip, you know, from Vrindavan to Mathura. When he arrived in Mathura, he found a dharamshala, some guest house, and he stayed there. When he reached there, Vasudev, his friend, and very, very special to Nanda Maharaj, and likewise, he heard Nanda Maharaj had come to Mathura. So Vasudev became very eager to see him and congratulate him. Why? Because he heard about the great birth ceremony. Vasudev heard about the great birth ceremony of Krishna. And only he knew in his heart that this birth ceremony I should have been performing. But somehow Krishna's arrangement was Nanda Maharaj should be performing. So Vasudev was very eager. And immediately he goes to the place where Nanda Maharaj is staying. And there, when these two friends met each other, Prabhupada writes, they embraced in great love and great ecstasy. And when they met each other that way, Vasudev told Nanda Maharaj something very nice. He said that when I see you now, I feel that I have actually been born again. He said, seeing a devotee like you is like rebirth. He said, I feel like I regained my life upon seeing a devotee. So Prabhupada gives a small elaboration there that actually when we see devotees, it is like rebirth. Rebirth not in the bad sense, but it's like being given another opportunity to actually improve our devotional service. In Vasudev's case, he was in prison and he told Nanda Maharaj, I've just been released from prison. And after being released from prison, now I have the chance to see you. So I feel like I'm born again. So when we see devotees, Prabhus and Matinis, don't take them for granted. Seeing them is like being given another opportunity to improve our devotional service. We should feel that way actually. We should not say, oh, Prabhu again. Ah, Prabhu again. You know, one more time I have to see him. No, we should not be like that. We should not be so casual with devotees that we take them for granted. Never we should feel that way. So then, Vasudev, you know, he was very anxious to find out about his two sons. So at the same time, he had to be cautious. Because while Nanda Maharaj knew about Rohini and Lord Balaram, Nanda Maharaj did not know about Krishna. This is an important point in Krishna book. Nanda Maharaj did not know that Krishna came from Vasudev. So Vasudev had to ask about Krishna, but he could not ask and say, how's my son Krishna? Because then Nanda Maharaj said, what do you mean, son? I'm the one, I'm the father. He could not say that. So Vasudeva was thinking, how to ask about the safety of my son? How to ask about him? So he was praying in his heart, please give me intelligence. So Vasudeva was anxious. And then he asked it without his knowledge. So with great anxiety he inquires. And Nanda Maharaj said, oh, Krishna is doing very nicely. And Balram is also doing very nicely. And he said, and Vasudev tells Nanda Maharaj, my dear brother, you were old enough, you and your wife were old enough to have children, but for so many years you had no children. No sons, no daughters. But now you have two wonderful sons. So you should feel very auspicious. So indirectly, actually, Vasudev was telling Nanda Maharaj, what great fortune you have, that you have two of the most exalted personalities in all the three worlds and beyond. But he put it in this way. And then he said, I, on the other hand, was imprisoned. And in my prison, you know, we had children. We had no difficulty having children, unlike you all. We had 8 children coming. One after the other, they came. But we lost everyone. We lost everyone. So your fortune is very great. But at the same time, Vasudev was so happy to hear about the birth ceremony of Krishna, because Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that Vasudev sincerely never expected that Krishna would live. This indicates the level of parenthood feeling he had. He never thought Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, so how can he be killed by Kamsa? As he put Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna, to heighten his devotional ecstasy, gave him the opportunity to remember him as a child. So he thought, there is no chance now. 7 children were gone. Why should this 8 child survive? So in that way, Vasudev never thought Krishna would survive. So when he heard about the advent of Krishna, the birth ceremony of Krishna, and when he saw Nanda Maharaj, he was exceedingly happy. Now Vasudev says something that is so nice and so instructional. And I'm just reading word to word what Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says there, he translates. Vasudev says, it is very hard for us to live together in this world. To live together. Although we have our family and relatives, sons and daughters, by nature's way, we are generally separated from one another. The reason for this is that every living entity appears in this earth under different pressures of fruitive activities. What a nice point. Every living entity has its own destiny. They have their own karmas. Vasudev is saying, because they have different pressures of fruitive activities, although they assemble together, but there is no certainty of them remaining together for a long time. Then he ends by saying, according to one's activities, one has to act differently and thereby become separated. So he says, our family assembly may be very nice now when we are living together. But after some time, Nanda Maharaj, in the course of the waves of time, we are separated. So this is an important point. Then Prabhupada gives the purport to why Vasudev is saying this. He says Vasudev is saying this because in his heart he was thinking, we had 8 sons. And for a while we were all assembled together, one big happy family in jail. But at least one big happy family. But as they came, we could not even keep one of them. In fact, we could not even keep the most cherished of them, Krishna. So Vasudev was telling Nanda Maharaj, how much I miss my wonderful child, Krishna. And he could not express this, and so he said that. And this is the same thing Naradaji says in Bhagavatam, in the first canto, 13th chapter, in the 41st verse. Keep this in mind, Prabhus and Matajis, because in your lifetime, you'll find what Vasudev says here is very true. In your lifetime, you'll find many relationships have come together, and they have gone. Remember how Prabhupada at one point Lilamrita says, so many names of my children are there, so many names of my mother and father are all there, but today they are all gone. Everyone is gone. All my memories of my childhood, my youth, my marriage, they are all now a dream. This is Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam prepares us to the reality of life. And the reality is Ma Kaschana Suchi Rajan. Ma Kaschana Sucho Rajan. Very important. Ma means no, no, no. So Narada Muni tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, you please don't lament. Why? Yat Ishvara Vasam Jagat. Very important. The separation between the living entities and their coming together is only because of the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So this is something we should remember. When we come together, our time together as devotees is very precious for these devotees. We have very little time to take each other's association in this material world before, by Krishna's arrangement, it goes away. So when we come together like this at 10:10 in the morning, you should relish this moment in the association of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada, the association of Bhagavatam and the devotees. We should not dream to leave this association. That is the purport of this. And when Vasudev said that, that is the meaning of why he said this one. Then after saying that, he asked one last question to Nanda Maharaj. He says, my dear friend, how is Vrindavan? Is it a nice place? Do you have enough water? Are there nice animals there? Is there nice food? Are they all happy? So he is asking this Prabhupada rice in Krishna Guru. Because indirectly, he wanted to know whether Krishna is being well fed, whether Krishna has some nice water, whether Krishna has nice living arrangements, whether the residence and safety of Krishna is there. Because that was what he was feeling. And then Nanda Maharaj concludes this short, beautiful episode by saying, my dear brother, I know you're very aggrieved because Kruva comes up killed all your sons. See, he's thinking all your sons were gone. And he said, you had one daughter, but somehow or another, you know, she could not be killed by Kamsa. And now she has gone to the celestial planets. That also he did not really appreciate or understand that arrangement. Only Nanda Maharaj knew that. So then he ends by saying, don't be aggrieved. We are all being controlled by our past unseen activities. Past unseen activities. Past means whatever we have done in the past, they always come back in the form of karma. But those who are with Krishna, Krishna will always take care of us. So that even when the karmas come, because we are surrendered to Krishna, these things eventually don't touch us. They may come for a while, because we are not pure. But if we improve the quality of our devotional service, Krishna will protect us. If karma was greater than Krishna, then we will also be in ISKCON, International Society for Karma Consciousness. If we think Kamsa is greater than Krishna, we'll also be members of ISKCON, International Society for Kamsa Consciousness. But we don't want Kamsa, we don't want karma. We want Krishna. So sometimes devotees work under the mistaken impression that karma is very powerful. Karma may be powerful in the material world, but the moment you come under the shelter of Krishna, then Krishna's arrangement is always supreme. So then, the point of unseen is who? That is where Prabhupada says, unseen refers to Krishna. Because very often Krishna's hand is unseen by us. Krishna is in the heart also unseen as Paramatma. But unseen doesn't mean he's not there. And that's why I remember my Guru Maharaj always saying, unseen doesn't mean unheard. We have to hear about Krishna. Then Krishna reveals himself. So actually Nanda Maharaj is saying beautiful point. And then at the end of it, Nanda Maharaj is going to leave, and Vasudev gives him warning in the last part of the chapter. He says, Nanda Maharaj, my dear friend, have you paid your taxes? He said, yeah, just paid. Then he said, go home now. Don't waste time. Why? Because very soon there will be some disturbances in Gokul. In Vrindavan area, I'm worried that there may be some disturbances. Why? Because Vasudev knew that Kamsa was on the lookout now for that child. And true enough, in the next chapter, the first of the demons will come and see Krishna. And it is Putana. So this is the beautiful exchange between two great personalities who accepted Krishna in their heart in the form of a child. You can see from their exchange how devotional service protected their hearts and how surrendered they were to Krishna. So the conclusion is very simple. These Krishna Kathas that we speak about, this beautiful points of Krishna that is being given by Bhagavatam, when we end our discussions, they don't end actually. We don't realize when we leave Goranga Center, of course after Prasadam, we don't realize that the effect of Krishna Katha continues in our heart. The closest crude example we can give you is the example of calorie burning exercises. Scientifically, if you run and then you sit down, you find that your metabolism and your calorie burning continues even after your activity has ended. It's a crude example. But what is really important is the effect of Krishna consciousness. In 3rd canto, 5th chapter, I think it is 16th or 17th verse. Sa shraddhanasya vivartamana virakti manyatra karoti pumsaha hare palanu smriti nivritasya samasta dukha yayamashudate. It's a very beautiful verse. This tells us why we are doing this Bhagavatam. There, the devatas are praying to Krishna. They say, and you can repeat, for one who is anxious to engage constantly in hearing such topics, Krishna Katha gradually increases his indifference towards all other things. Such constant remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord by the devotee who has achieved transcendental bliss vanquishes all miseries without delay. So that means Krishna Katha will gradually increase our indifference towards material things. Indifference means after a while the material things are not important to us. It may come, but we know they will pass. Isn't it true? All your miseries, they come, but they pass. The good news is, okay, the bad news is your happiness in this material world is not permanent. But the good news is, your miseries are also not permanent. That's very good. So supposing you say, oh my God, I got into a terrible marriage. We have good news for you. The good news is you're going to die. So when you die, your marriage cannot outlast you, isn't it? Who are you married to when you're dead? You're dead. So that's the good news we tell everyone. And people like it, you know. When you tell someone who is an atheist, even he can understand that happiness is temporary in this world. Then they say, I'm suffering. But you tell them, if happiness is temporary, why should misery be permanent? They like that. And then if they have difficulty because they have some partner in a company that they can't take it, we tell them, just like, you know, you will die, so your partner also dies. They like that. Yeah, that means, you know, everybody is going to die. And in that way, we come to understand that because we become indifferent, it can only come not artificially, but it can come when we keep hearing Bhagavatam, keep burying our heads in Bhagavatam, keep spending time with each other by putting Bhagavatam in the center. And in that way, you find that in all the miseries, we will have the strength. Because Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. And Bhagavatam is all about the great devotees who are very, 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 very dear. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudev ki, Ananda Gauri Vaishnavinda ki, Jai Gaurav Jai Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev ki. Are there any questions, any comments devotees would like to bring? Yes, ma'am.
Sorry,
you can repeat. It's easier. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So, actually, Vatsalya Ras, does it include a devotee considering Lord as their parent?
Sorry, in Vatsalya Ras, does it include a devotee who considers Lord as their parent?
Yeah.
No, it won't be Vatsalya Ras, because in Vatsalya Ras, the mood of the devotee is that he or she is the parent. It's the other way around. But in Bhagavatam it is stated, and in Bhagavad Gita it is stated, and in all the scriptures it is stated, that factually speaking, Krishna is always our father, because he is the original creator. So, one of the easiest things that we should have in our heart is, he is our supreme father. So, he is always looking out for us. We are all his children. So, we should follow the devotees who understand their father better,
and follow in their footsteps. Serve them to understand the Father. So that would be the mood if we have this mood of Krishna being found. It's a nice one. Yes, we shall do. Please.
Often in devotional service, we have these two ideas. That on one hand, we say that a devotee doesn't worry even if he has to come back to this world, and as long as he is engaged in service of the Lord. On the other hand, we have the idea that we have to get out of this world. And these two ideas keep coming in Prabhupada's books also.
Yeah.
So what is our goal? Because I was reading Beyond Birth and Death. So in that, Prabhupada says that when Mahaprabhu says, Janma Janim, in Shikshashtakam, when Mahaprabhu says that, like, life after life I want Lord's service, then Prabhupada writes there that life after life means that he is not concerned even about liberation.
Yes.
So then what is our goal as practicing devotees?
Nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, they make it very clear to us that our goal as devotees, aspiring devotees, is that we should somehow or another remember Krishna and we should never forget him. That is the foundational principle. And any situation which is favorable for us to conduct that principle, we should adopt it. If we have that mood, then it doesn't matter where we are or in what situation we are. It doesn't matter what caste, what creed, what birth we take. That's why Krishna consciousness is above all this. It is a state of consciousness. That is why Prabhupada emphasized that it doesn't matter what background you come from, but the process works. So a devotee is not very much bothered about items like liberation from this material existence. Because if it means that he is liberated from this material existence to enjoy in some particular place without service to Krishna, then that is not enjoyment for a devotee. But a devotee, Prabhupada says, is prepared to go to hell if he can preach in hell. Because that is actually, that gives him more pleasure when it comes to Krishna consciousness. Then you may ask the other point, why is it that Prabhupada always tells us we should get out of this material? I remember many years ago, Parsali Prabhu took a class, and in that class he emphasized the point that we should cultivate also the attitude that we should not stay in this world or hope that we should continue to stay in this world. And I remember Prabhuji saying, do I want to stay in this world? He said, no way. I don't want to stay in this world. Why did Prabhupada emphasize that point also? Because sometimes we have the cheating tendency that in the name of devotional service, we say that we will continue to stay in this world so that we can preach to the living entities. But the truth is, we want to stay in this world because of sense gratification. And when that happens, we are actually cheating ourselves. So the important thing is to develop and cultivate an attitude that this material world we should not become attached to. But whatever that we are here now and we are already existing, we should use this time in such a way that we serve the lotus feet of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, follow the principles of devotional service, then leave it at their lotus feet to decide where we should go and what we should do. So in that way, a devotee is not attached to the concept of I must leave the material world, neither is he attached to the concept that, oh, I have to do something which appears as if I'm being a devotee. Doesn't matter where I am. Both ways, he's not attached. His only focus is, what can I do that will please my spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada? So, that is actually the point where there is no contradiction between devotees. Pasaipu, would you like to state something on this? You are a little bit far, but I don't know whether we can bring this for you, Prabhu. Yeah. I think it can stretch. Because I remember you speaking on this very strongly.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, yeah, what you said is true. Because we all practicing sadhana bhakti. Actually, none of us can claim to be devotees.
Yes.
All of us are sadhana bhakti. We haven't come to the Raghunatha bhakti stage yet.
Yes.
So, because we haven't come to that stage, we should all aspire to go back to Godhead.
Yes.
And at that time, when we go back to Godhead, then Krishna will decide whether we come back to certain chariot, different aspects, different places that we want to. We shouldn't we should not be asking, telling Krishna that, oh, I will stay there too.
Yes.
That means you are, you know, like you said, cheating.
Yes.
Point is, we are trying to be cheating ourselves,
yes.
Cheating Krishna ourselves.
Yes.
That is, we should be careful,
yes.
Not to aspire to stay here.
Yes.
Let us aspire to go back first,
yes.
And then Krishna desires, if he so desires, he will send you down. Just what we are trying to say is, we are all pure devotees.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, so that's the point. We think we are pure devotees, therefore we can stay here,
yes.
And go to different places in this world.
Yes.
And Krishna really sends his devotees, right? You know, Prabhupada.
Yes.
And they are the ones who can come and go anywhere they want.
Yes, Prabhu.
All of us, they came to bring us back to Godhead.
Yes.
So we should try our best.
Yes.
And then later, if Krishna sends us, if we are that pure, then he will bring us back.
Yes.
If he wants us to serve him.
Yes.
The thinking is that we are pure devotees, we are so close to Krishna that we can do anything for Krishna. That is wrong.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So it's very clear. As devotees, as Prabhu said, we are not even actually on the stage of devotional service. Bhagavad Gita very clearly tells us, until we come to the Brahma Bhuta platform, that is the only point when the devotional service actually begins. So we are not even on that platform, as Prabhu nicely pointed out. So it is always safer for us to understand where we are. Safer for us to know that we are totally unqualified. And that is why Prabhupada always says the word, the very famous phrase, go back home, back to Godhead. Because if we aspire to follow the mood of Prabhupada and follow the orders of our spiritual master, then the service and the practice of sadhana bhakti automatically, by their grace, will give us that opportunity. And after that, it is entirely again up to Krishna and the great acharyas to decide where we should go and what we should do. So, we should not embark on a journey which we are not qualified for, but rather we should follow the process very sincerely, and then the process itself, being perfect, will actually lead us to the point of total surrender. So, I hope this point is very clear, as Prabhuji has nicely stated. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes. Yes, Kulshekha Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Not a question, Prabhuji, just a little bit understanding that Krishna being our father, and because of our karmas we have to stay separately, but still as a father he rarely says when we stay in between diverse.
Yes.
So on this point if you can little bit elaborate.
Yeah, that's a nice point. No doubt in Bhagavatam always keeps telling us that in this world, the nature of the material world is that we come together and we leave. Hiranyakashipu speaks about this in the 7th canto, when he's trying to calmly tell his mother that, when he's trying to pacify her that upon the death of his brother Hiranyaksha. He says just like living entities come together in a restaurant and they eat and they dine and after that they all leave. Nobody sits down and says, oh, now we have to stay in the restaurant because I can't bear to live without you, you can't bear to live without me. Sometimes when you see each other on the train, and then after that you get off the train and you wait on the platform for the next train, after a while when your train comes, you leave separately and you go separately. And nobody tells now, no, we are going to forget the train, I want to marry you, you want to marry me. It doesn't happen that way, you know, or at least rarely it doesn't happen. But Prabhu's point, he's taking it from another very important angle. Even as devotees, in this material world when we live, because of material arrangements, sometimes we are together. Sometimes because of material arrangements, we have to leave. But the important thing there is that even while we are together, being physically together may be important, but being united in our cause for Krishna consciousness is more important. And Prabhupada always gave us this principle of the Vaishnavas, unity in diversity. Prabhupada gave us the point that we may have diverse strengths, but we should unitedly use them in the service of Krishna. And one important point we should understand is that we should celebrate our diversity. Imagine if Krishna made the world with no colors, if he made the creation non-variegated, it would be very dull. You just see yourself in everybody. Already, you know, we are tired of ourselves. Seeing everybody looking at like ourselves is not very helpful. So Krishna is very kind. Everyone has certain strengths.
And Prabhupada in Lilamrita, you find that he himself fanned the fires of enthusiasm and strengths of all his disciples expertly, taking into account their different strengths, taking into account their weaknesses. And sometimes his instructions was as varied as the personalities that he spoke to. It is like that. For example, to Giriraj Maharaj, Prabhupada famously told him that he should take up more management. To some of his very powerful and charismatic leaders, he told them that now you should go away and spend more time preaching, because they were very powerful managers. So sometimes devotees would become bewildered. Why Prabhupada is telling one person to leave? Why one Prabhupada is telling one person to manage? That's because the spiritual master expertly knows what are our areas of strengths and what we should be concentrating on. So as devotees, we should not become bewildered or disturbed if a devotee is different from us, or if a devotee has a different style of doing something. What is important is that what we do must be in accordance with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. That is very important. Unity in diversity doesn't mean unity in deviation. Unity and in diversity means we may be diverse, but Guru, Sadhu and Shastra is there. I end by stating one quote. It's in the Vedabase. I forget the name of the devotee, but I think it is Pushta Krishna or Tushta Krishna. He had become a bit disillusioned with his god brothers and he was thinking of breaking away. Word came to Prabhupada when he visited some place in America that Pushta Krishna wanted to leave. So Prabhupada sat him down and he asked him, "So, is it that you want to start something new?" And then he said, no, Prabhupada, I don't want to do that. Then Prabhupada says, "It's all right, you know, in the form of preaching, you can start a program. That's all right." Then Prabhupada became grave and he said that a tree may have many branches. That is all right. But the fruit of a branch that has been cut off from the main tree must taste the same as the fruit that is originally on that tree. If the fruit is the same or tastes the same, then it is all right. So if you go into Vedabase, you'll find this is a very important instruction of Srila Prabhupada. What Prabhupada was saying is that we may have different propensities, we may have different ways of trying to reach out to devotees in Krishna consciousness, different moods, but the fruit of what we are doing must always taste the same. And we can only do it if we follow Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So this is unity in diversity. We have a year ahead of us. We should live that way, together as devotees, respecting each other's strengths, working together, and not criticizing and not fault-finding. Thank you, Guru Shekhar Prabhu. Timely reminder for us to start the year. So thank you very much for the time. Mataji, you had one. Okay, one last question. We have one last question. A bit closer so everyone can hear.
In the purport, the last line, Prabhupada says, "Thus when Vasudeva, out of fear of Kamsa, carried him to Vrindavan, the Lord enjoyed him. Otherwise, he had no fear from Kamsa or anywhere else." So, Roji, Vasudeva was feared that, when you mentioned that Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva, they both met and he was afraid that all the seven children were already killed, so whether this child will be survived or. He had a little fear, or he was out of just to please the Krishna. He had mentioned that Krishna enjoys when devotee takes care of.
Thus, when Vasudev, out of fear of Kamsa, carried him to Vrindavan, the Lord enjoyed it. Otherwise, he had no fear from Kamsa or anyone else. That's your point, right? So, actually, the point Prabhupada says here is, and if you read before that, that a devotee takes it for granted that the Lord is to be protected by the devotee's care. That is transcendentally joyful for the Krishna. So, when Vasudev was afraid in his heart, it meant that he was fearful because he was in the mood of Vatsaliras. So he was being protective of Krishna as if Krishna was his child. If Vasudev knew and always was aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
then his remembrance of Krishna in Vatsalya Ras would not rise. Because then it would be maybe awe and reverence. But because Vasudev was a great devotee of Krishna, who actually prayed and desired that Krishna should come as his son, and because he was a great devotee in terms of his penance and control of senses, Krishna then reciprocated as the perfect child. And we know very often, and it is stated in Nectar of Devotion, one of the features of parents is the protective nature when they want to take care of their child. And the protective nature of a parent comes in dangerous situations. So Krishna created that dangerous situation such that Vasudev was fearful that Kamsa would come and kill the last child. And so in his heart, Krishna was his son. So he carried Krishna to Vrindavan out of fear. The fear of Kamsa made him remember Krishna more. At the point in the chapter in Kendo 10, Devaki Mata expresses similar fear. And in the first canto, in the 10th canto, the first chapter, Prabhupada's purports are there. So Prabhupada in that purport says that Kamsa represents material association. Based on the Acharyas state that Kamsa represents material association. He denotes that quality of material association. So Devaki Mata, Prabhupada says, was actually afraid of material association. So there are two levels to it. First, as a parent, it is natural for a parent to feel fear that a child would be in danger. Yashoda Mata felt the same way. If Krishna grew up and became a wayward child, then what would happen? I must discipline him. So Krishna creates yoga maya, not the deluding energy of this material world, but his internal potency, so that the devotees continue to increase their remembrance and devotion of him on the platform that they desire to see him as. So this fear is not, it is not a negative thing. In Bhagavatam, the fear that a parent exercises actually heightens the remembrance of the Lord. Just like the gopis were always anxious to see Krishna. In material world, material anxiety makes us forget Krishna. But in the spiritual world, spiritual anxiety is completely different. It is the anxiety of how and when I can see Krishna and how I can serve Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada told very often in Lilamrita, we should increase our anxiety to perform service in this world. If we are anxious to perform service, that will make us remember Krishna. That is how Nectar of Devotion tells us anxiety, fear, these qualities that apparently look material, when it is utilized by great devotees, they become tools and instruments in remembrance of Krishna. Is that helpful, Manuji? Okay. Jai Vritaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Gurudev ki. Jai Gaurakri. Sorry, I remember in Lilamrita, one time the devotees went to a pub to chant there. And they were coming back very late. So after, Prabhupada tolerated it once or twice. But after that he stopped it. And then he brought up this example that a devotee must also be fearful of material association. In that way, he will avoid it. We cannot be so falsely proud that, because I have Krishna consciousness, you know, there, karaoke lounge next door. Saturday evening, when you all come and sit down to hear Bhagavatam, I'm going to go in there, make friends and chant. It won't happen. You go in there, you won't come out. So, at the same time, as Pasaipu you said, we are not pure devotees. Let us be very clear that we are not even devotees. We are just trying to be devotees. So, taking shelter of Krishna means knowing who we really are. We are nothing. So to think boldly that I can enter where, you know, no man has tread and I will just change everyone with Krishna consciousness is just bravado. It is not intelligence. So Prabhupada told them, stop it now. No more doing that. You come for your Mangalarti and that will be safer. And that's how they stop doing it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, just a quick announcement. This evening, Prabhu and Mataji's, we have a program at the Hindu Center. It's at Owen Road, 132 Owen Road, very nearby. 7:30 to 8:30 is our singing, chanting slot. Now, normally, in their calendar, today is Ekadeshi. And for them, it is a very big festival. And they do it in the first Ekadeshi of the year. So they've kindly invited us. Last year or the year before, we had half an hour slot, and their own bhajan group also had half an hour slot. This year, their budget group is doing 20 minutes, I think, and they're giving us one full hour. We also asked them for permission to set up a book table with Srila Prabhupada's books, and they have kindly agreed. We will also be bringing some offered prasadam, maybe dried, and we will also be giving it to them. So it's an opportunity for us to do some nice preaching, create relationships such that we can spread Krishna consciousness. But it won't work if we don't have a good team. If we have many devotees coming and we chant very enthusiastically and lovingly, I think for one full hour, that atmosphere would inspire so many persons. So my humble request to you is go back, get rest, do whatever you have to do, and then by 7:30, they're quite punctual, so by 7:20 if you come, then we can all be gathered there and we can chant lovingly Krishna's names. It's a good way to end the weekend, and it's a good way to start tomorrow our observance of Ekadashi. So please, try to do that. So we have His Holiness Romapad Maharaj, who's coming on the 26th of January. He will arrive on Thursday night. It's the Chinese New Year weekend, so we have programs. Maharaj is going to probably take a kind of a seminar on either Queen Kunti's prayers or what we call avoiding offenses to devotees. He's done this very nicely. Actually, he sent me copies of his PowerPoints and they look so nice. And Maharaj is a very excellent speaker. He's very successful in university preaching throughout US, and he travels. This is his first trip to Singapore. So it would be very nice if we all came and spent time, getting his association and hearing him also. Right? So, in fact, Maharaj came to Krishna consciousness by going to Rupanuga Prabhu, very senior disciple of Prabhupada. Rupanuga Prabhu started the university classes in Buffalo. And there, Romapad Maharaj, Lakshmimoni Prabhu, and two or three devotees were students in the university. They came for the first talk by Rupanuga Prabhu, and they never left. And after that, they joined Krishna consciousness full time, met Prabhupada, and got initiated. So their lives changed just by hearing a devotee. So we should be very glad that they are here actually. Then in February, on Nityananda Prabhu's appearance, we have two very wonderful devotees here. His Grace Bhakti Rasayana, His Holiness Bhakti Rasayana Maharaj, who is Uttama Shloka Prabhu previously. He will be here from 6th to 10th of February. And then we have His Grace Vijay Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada and Minister for Book Distribution. He is here from 7 to 13. So on 9th, they collide. Very favorably, of course. So 9th, we have Thaipusam. So we have Rath Yatra in the morning. And then in the evening, we have observance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's appearance. And on that day, we have two wonderful personalities here with us. So if anyone wants to host Bhakti Rasayana Maharaj, Vijay Prabhu, please let us know. They're wonderful personalities. They're very simple. And they give very wonderful association. I would request you to please do it. And then the weekend of February 24th, 25th, 26th, I think, His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj will be here. So I just got a call from Yamaraj Prabhu, Ashwin Prabhu, and Yamaraj Prabhu. So he has told me now that Maharaj will be here for the weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday, I think, is either the appearance or disappearance of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And Maharaj will be taking a special class also on that Monday evening. So he asked whether there will be people coming on Monday. I said, if Maharaj is here, you can be assured the devotees will come. So that assurance is now our guarantee. We have to be there. So many wonderful personalities are coming. Please take advantage of this wonderful opportunity. Hare Krishna. Today's sponsorship is by Lakshmi Mataji. Issued here. This is on the occasion of the birth of the child. She may not be here at the moment. Okay, so anyway, we want to thank them.